Hello, friends, and welcome to Inks and Issues, a book club podcast for comics. I'm your host, Jonah Gregory.
And my name's Kieran, and I hope you don't switch off this podcast.
Oh, what? And we are joined today by...
I'm very flustered by what he just said, but I am Ryan, and I'm happy to be here.
Yes, and Ryan is joining us again from the Torchlit Tavern podcast, where you guys play D&D and have a good time with your friends.
Yeah, we play the D&D. I play a rogue warlock. He's stabby.
Oh, yeah, I love a good crunch, says chat. So we are streaming live again. So thank you for joining us, various people who have hopped in on the live stream over on twitch.tv/inksandissues. Get that plug out of the way. So
live from New York, it's Saturday night.
All right. So we have been reviewing Far Sector, which is a Green Lantern comic. But this ain't your daddy's Green Lantern comic. But we actually mean that in a good way for once.
We mean that in a good way. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For once in my life, I mean that as a positive.
This isn't that boomer John Stewart's Green Lantern.
Is John Stewart a boomer? I always think Hal is a boomer.
Hal would definitely be a boomer.
Hal's definitely a boomer. Guy Gardner's a boomer.
I mean, John Stewart, he's definitely not a millennial.
No, he is a cop, right?
I mean, they're all kind of cops.
I mean, they're all cops.
I don't know how I feel about this Green Lantern Corps, guys. Conflicting emotions. No, so we're talking. Let's not derail everything before.
What would it be? Egg Lab? Mayhaps. Not this one, anyway, so far.
Right.
We'll find out.
So we are discussing Far Sector, which is a new Green Lantern comic and idea. So this book takes place on a far off world where there hasn't been any murders for 500 years or something?
500 years.
And
no violent crime for 500.
Yeah. And they're so far out of the Green Lantern jurisdiction that they had to specially request that one is sent out to help with the situation. Mm. And it turns out that there was a couple of murders, and there's also a thing called the emotion equation. Is that what it was called?
Exploit.
The emotion exploit.
Dang it. I was so close. The emotion exploit, which basically makes everyone not have emotions. They're pure logic. And but not really, because they still seem to get very worked up about things, even though they're not emotional.
They do get very worked up about things.
They're basically like how Spock technically isn't supposed to have emotions, but he still gets mad about things sometimes. And you're like, but Spock, come on,
buddy.
God, I didn't think about it that way, but it's like an entire planet of Spocks.
This planet is made up of three different species. One of them are kind of like dragon people, and as Ryan put it last episode, where they can fly and they have cool wings and stuff, and
they have fins also. There's the AT-AT,
which are AI beings that can make themselves have a physical form of some sort, that's or at least a visible form for humans and other species to interact with. They basically eat memes. They love it, can't get enough of them. And
I mean,
then there's
I live off of memes.
They're just eating, posting all the time.
And then there's
never not posting.
It's true. And then there's the species that are plants who are carnivorous. And if they want to eat you, it means they think you're pretty dang cool. But they will eat you if you agree to it.
Vor your friends.
But only if you agree to it.
Is what I'm getting.
It would be an honor if you let me eat you, friend.
Exactly. So that is where we are at. So when we left off, there was a riot, according to, the people on the public sector of, the council and the peacekeeping division. Basically, a bunch of 100,000 protesters showed up and said, hey, this whole emotion thing, we want those back. How about that? Because we haven't had them for a very long time, and we think it's kind of bullshit that we don't.
Pretty keen.
Yeah, they're jonesing for those emotions. So, Kieran, do you have it pulled up before we jump in officially, so we can re-emphasize writer and artist?
As we said last episode, art is by Jamal Campbell, and the story is by Nora K. Jemison. Though it does actually occur to me, her name is Nora K. Jemison. She is normally listed under N.K. Jemison, because obviously you can't have a woman's name on front of a book, because then people won't buy it. Because this world is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a thing. A thing that sucks. So, we left off at the very end, where the protesters are like, hey, we want emotions again, and Joe, who's the Green Lantern that we are following, is like, hey, you got to listen to people, because clearly they have something that's upsetting them, even though they're emotionless, because they're not being listened to. And the council is like, yeah, they need to disperse or we'll start firing. Oh, actually, we're just going to start firing. So several people are immediately killed and injured.
Are like, hey, could you listen to us? And the council's like, kill you?
We can do that.
Yeah.
We can do that.
We have the technology.
We have the technology.
Exactly.
There hasn't been violent crime in 500 years, but we have all these guns and we need to shoot something.
Was anyone else? Right? Like, I'm guessing I'm not alone in going, why do they have tanks then that fire massive lasers?
We don't have a police force. We have peace officers.
True.
But they all have energy weapons.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like such a like milk toast white bullshit for when people were like, hey, let's not give the cops tanks. They're like, they're not police officers. They're peace officers.
This is our great solution.
We're gonna rebrand the police.
Speaking of tanks.
Yeah. So I'm gonna jump into issue 4 then. So Joe gets into it with the peace division officers who just followed this kill order against peaceful protesters. And he's like, whoa, you can't blame me. I was just following orders, essentially, because he's like, that came directly from the council. So she's like, OK, you want to use force, and uses her ring to just vaporize one of their tanks that they totally need for peacekeeping reasons.
Yeah, it's real weird. Like, there's no violent crime, but there's a ton of weaponry and guns and tanks just all over the fucking place.
Uh-huh.
For all that
peace. And then we find out after this little encounter, though, that the peace division has actually secretly been studying Joe and her ring to figure out, like, what are the limits of what her power is. And they've basically discovered this ring is different than the other Green Lantern rings. This one doesn't need a battery. This one actually recharges over time on its own. But the trade-off is it's not as powerful as a standard Green Lantern ring. But they're like, but it's still like crazy powerful. Like, if it's charged at all, we can't mess with her because she will destroy us if we tried anything. But they're like, we don't know how long it takes to recharge. It's like it could take, you know, hours, maybe days. We don't know. My cat is pushing my microphone out of my way, so that's fun.
Don't talk into the mic, talk into her butt.
So they don't know how long it takes for the ring to recharge because she doesn't have the traditional battery. But basically what they come up with from that is like, so if we can get her to drain her battery on her, or to drain the power of that specific ring, then she's basically just a human at that point until it recharges. So that's creepy that they're basically like, hey, how do we kill this person on this peaceful planet with no crime? So she goes, and Joe, that is, goes and talks to the wife of one of the murder victims and learns that a lot of people are actually tired of the whole no emotions thing. And they think that the council needs to make a referendum that switch off, which is the drug that lets them have emotions again, should basically be decriminalized and be made like freely available so that people who choose to have emotions can. So it's not even like they're saying we need to change everything about society right now. Like they are approaching it from the let people make a personal choice and be responsible for their own actions approach. But of course, the people in power that challenges that status quo, so they are very reluctant to listen to the people. Interesting. Joe goes to the council and relays the people's demands and is basically told, like, oh yeah, this happens sometimes, and you know, we just use force and then they stop asking for things. And apparently this has happened like 12 times. And it's always in regards to ending the emotional exploit that is the reason they have no emotions in the first place. So maybe, just maybe, if your citizenship hates the status quo so much that 12 occasions over the years they've had to have these massive, massive like protests, you might want to listen to what they have to say. Like, I'm not an expert on politics. I'm just, this is my opinion.
Yeah, they had called Joe out to the planet before all this even happened.
Right.
Because they knew it was going to happen because it has happened so many times.
Yeah. And that's what we find out in that scene where you're just like, oh, OK, so there's like a whole other wrinkle to this situation that the Green Lantern Corps does not seem to have been aware of because Joe wasn't aware of it. And I feel like they would have told her.
Yeah, it is interesting that they're like having no emotions, you know, makes us like perfectly able to make such good decisions and you know, be a peaceful society. But then equally not having emotions allows them to be totally comfortable and justified, or not justified, but totally comfortable and at peace with making decisions like, well, every so often there's massive riots and people want changes to the status quo. But like, we just shoot and beat them until they, you know, until they kind of get over it. And we're cool with that.
Yeah, it's real bad. And it's also real. And it's terrifying that seeing this in remember when comics were funny? Oh, wait, no. that's just the old person that I used to hear all the time as a kid. Yeah, so it's interesting to see these parallels. As we mentioned last time, this had to have been in the works long before the current situation was happening with the current protests and everything else happening in the world right now. So this book, just with the last part of issue 3 and basically this entire issue, is really just solidifying how relevant this type of storytelling is right now. But the issue ends with, on her way back to the apartment, she checks her ring and we find it's down to 8% battery and that it'll take 5 days to fully recharge. So we get some insight into what the peace officer guys, or the peace division, whatever they call themselves, have been trying to research, which is that her ring is not a normal Green Lantern ring. It recharges on its own. So, yeah, that's where it ends. And that's also, I thought, a pretty cool twist in the standard Green Lantern. Karen, you're the Green Lantern expert among us, I would say. What did you think of this new ring?
I thought it was pretty cool, to be honest, because like it, I think it does a really good job in that particular instance of like kind of taking the Green Lantern, I guess, mythos and sort of like turning it on its head and doing something different with it. And I think like having that whole kind of trade-off of like, you know, it's maybe not as powerful and she doesn't need to charge it like all the time does mean, I think, that she can, I guess, like do just more Green Lantern shit. Because I think, you know, sometimes some of the limitations with like, you know, Hal Jordan and stuff like that is like constantly having to recharge their rings. And I think it does, I'm assuming this is like some really good foreshadowing, and that if we were reviewing all 12 issues, we would all be going like, oh my God, like this was so cool that they set this up in like issue 4. And then it totally paid off in like issue 10 when this happened with her ring, you know, based on the quality of the writing so far.
Yeah. I'm waiting for that moment, actually.
Yeah. Like based on the quality of writing, I'm sure this was happening. But yeah, like as a Green Lantern fan, I was like, ooh, this is familiar, but different. And I like it.
Okay. So Ryan, any thoughts on issue 1 before we move on? Issue 4. Yeah, what am I thinking? Yeah. First of this episode.
It was wild to find out that, oh yeah, this has happened 12 different times and we just straight up killed everybody. That was wild to hear.
The counselor Marth taking the switch off was a twist that I was like, oh wow, cool. And then this was also another twist that I was like, oh shit.
Especially because a lot of it is coming from him. So you're definitely getting this like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing from him. And that actually just keeps getting more intense as this part of the story continues. But yeah, he's very much, they're setting up now that he is a very different person when he is emotional versus not. And the logical, supposedly, version of him is a monster, clearly.
Yeah, straight up, just like, yeah, we've killed them all like 12 different times. No biggie, it works every time.
Right. 50% of the time, it works every time.
All right. Yeah, and then also, there was another homage at the beginning of this one. It seems to happen on, what is it, every other issue. But this one was an Independence Day homage.
Yeah.
She straight up punches like an alien in the face and says, welcome to Far Sector.
Nice. All right. Any other thoughts on issue one before we move on?
Issue four.
You know what I mean. The first one we're discussing on this episode.
All right. Issue five. So the council has issued a formal apology for firing on the unarmed protesters. This makes everything totally all right again, and the systemic injustices that the people are facing are completely wiped away. The story now ends. Wow, like, that was a really quick resolution, you guys. So yeah, what'd you...
It was quick. Yeah. The next several issues are just her trying to find a good cup of coffee.
Yeah. So final thoughts, I guess. No, that's not what happens. The council has issued a formal apology for firing on the unarmed protesters. They've accepted the protesters' demands and set a date for a referendum on the emotion exploit. Also, Jo finally finds food that she likes from a food truck, which was very cute. I really liked it.
Yeah, I liked that scene.
Yeah, that was a really cool little scene.
Where she is like, the person's like, try it, you'll like it. And she's all skeptical. And then at the end of the scene, you see her just leaving with a giant, like, two giant containers of that food. It's like the first thing she's actually liked that's on this planet.
So here we get Jo's backstory, how her mom didn't get a promotion because of her racist bosses. She makes her way through college, joins the army to try and make a difference, which ends when she sees the damage they're doing to the actual people. Drops out to become a cop, which ends when her partner beats someone nearly to death that he claims is resisting arrest. And they fire her on a technicality because she's tagged in a photo on Facebook. And then Jo meets a strange woman at the bar. And a job offer is made. A Green Lantern job offer.
Ooh. Gasp.
Jo's backstory. Let's discuss. It's really good.
Yes. It's very interesting. 9/11 straight up happens. They show that.
That is true. I figured we would probably touch on that. It wasn't in my notes, but
it was very blatant. Just like as soon as things go south with her parents and the parents get divorced and they're walking out of the courthouse and then the planes hit the towers right there.
Yeah.
And it shows them like trying to help people on the street.
Yeah, it definitely shows a lot of these scenes show her bravery that would lead her to being chosen as a Green Lantern, because like when her parents are fighting, she's kind of the one comforting her other siblings and kind of protecting them. You see that they look like they're fighting over bills or something. Cause there's all these papers on the table, and it's right after that scene where her mom doesn't get that promotion. And then she clearly like studies hard and goes to college. And then, you know, she just keeps trying to do what she thinks is the right thing to make a difference, and it just never goes the way she thinks it is supposed to go. And that part where she's in the army, even though it's only like a few panels, was like very affecting, because it shows them show up, like all the people that are whatever country they're supposed to be in are like, oh hey, cool, you guys are here to help. And then a panel or two later, like one of the little kids is just glaring at her and he's missing an arm now. And it's just horrifying. It's like just showing like the devastation modern warfare causes.
Yeah. And she does actually say, and because she's like kind of, you know, doing that noir kind of like self-narration the whole time. And she does actually say over that bit, because it's all about her like wanting to help people and, you know, why she does what she does. And when she gets to that bit, she says, you know, you have this desire to help people, but is your presence causing more harm? And, you know, how can you try and help people? And then she goes and joins the police, and she says, you know, you want to try and make a change from the inside. You want to try and see if you can be, you know, the good one to you know, rise above it all. And I think it's really powerful that it kind of, it ends with her realizing, no, I can't. I can't make the change that I want to within this currently existing existing system.
That just those couple of pages were like just like heart-wrenching, you know, just seeing like they're very true to life things that people deal with every day. And it was like crazy to me to be reading that in like a sci-fi comic, because they get to play with the she's on this other planet in the, you know, who knows where off in space. However, because she's from Earth, she has that grounding that we all see and have. I mean, it was very powerful, like that, like,
yeah, it's a very super cool dichotomy that they're drawing between.
Yeah, and even like when she gets fired, it's like she even says, like, it wasn't my Facebook account, it wasn't even my photo or anything, but like one of her friends who happens to be a Black Lives Matter protest organizer tagged her in some photo that she, so she got fired over that, because it's like, well, we're not supposed to take sides. It's like,
yeah, and it wasn't even like she was at, like, it wasn't a picture of her at a protest. It was just a picture of her, and her friend is an activist. So, oh, you're friends with that person? Well, you're fired then.
So it was not the fact that, you know, her partner who beat someone almost to death and got like a couple months paid leave or whatever while they reviewed the case, I assume was a white male cop, situation and the fact that you only see a hand and gun and blood. So, and the fact that, you know, we all live in the real world while we're reading this. Some of this comic was incredibly depressing and hard to get through, specifically this part.
But also it was very, you know, visceral and interesting, and it definitely kept me engaged.
I mean, it was definitely handled well. Like, if you're going to be tackling this very heavy subject matter in your space cop comic.
the other thing that I really, really liked about it was, so when she meets this woman who looks very much like she looks like a black woman, but like very kind of,
I thought she was a Wakandan at first.
That's what
she does kind of look Wakandan, but then the lantern symbol is very, and
she kind of looks
like her chest.
She kind of looks like one of the guardians of Oa. And like sort of near the end, but she looks like if they were like, you know, black woman. But I really like that she says, here, I'm giving you a different ring because you're not living without fear like a normal Green Lantern. You've learned to live with fear. You've learned to live in a world and in a system that doesn't, you know, really tolerate you. And that I feel is more powerful than ignoring the fear entirely, which I really liked and makes like a huge immediate point of difference.
Oh yeah, Joe is like my favorite Green Lantern. Like, just
absolutely. Absolutely. Sorry, Hal, you've gone, buddy.
Also, I didn't, when we meet this this Green Lantern lady, who I don't think her name is ever said.
I don't think so.
But they're walking down the street, and she's like, and Joe's telling her everything that happened as far as like losing her job and whatnot, and as the panels go along, it clearly shows that like this woman is taller than Joe, but in the last panel she's like floating in the air and substantially shorter than Joe.
Yes.
And I don't understand why, and it's not brought up at all.
Because she's one of the Guardians of the Galaxy. She's the guardian of Oa.
Different franchise.
Yeah.
Oh, is that okay?
Well, because they call, because like, in some versions they are called the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
but they're mostly called the Guardians of Earth. But yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, so she's smaller than Joe in the last panel because that's her, like.
Well, and she goes back to like a blue skin tone, like they have. She's like revealing her true form, which I thought it was cool that they actually show a Guardian of Oa that looks not like the same guy copy and pasted, because that's how they usually draw them.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not wrong, am I?
No, I was like, yeah. Why are you booing me? I'm right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not, obviously wasn't familiar with the Oa, but
yeah, I feel like if you're a Green Lantern fan, like it's a bit of a like, I don't know. Maybe it'll come back later. We don't know.
Yeah, it's not a finished series yet.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to the issue.
Okay.
So in the prison, we learn that the first murderer, Emile Thorne, was a vegetarian. It's a very difficult and even blasphemous thing for her species to be, but it also reveals she hadn't eaten meat in years. She actually went into serious debt to stay a vegetarian, but suddenly paid off the debt, then vanished. The autopsy showed that this is when she started taking Switch Off, lost control, and went on the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this is information that Avrup Thorne, the Catopley counselor himself, has dug up.
Yes.
Yeah. So a lot more going on than originally seemed to be, because they actually get into that whole thing, which was another interesting, weird sci-fi thing that I really enjoyed, because this is the plant carnivore people who normally eat meat only because they can't really eat other things. But basically they've developed like a synthetic slurry that they can like soak in and get the nutrients they need to survive.
Yeah.
But it's incredibly expensive, they said. That's why it's like, okay, even if they wanted to all be vegetarians, they really can't, because it's just not an easy to get thing. And like they said, it's kind of a blasphemous thing because their culture does revolve around eating your best friends. So
while they don't do that anymore, there is like some kind of weird side meat substitute that they do eat instead of like a vegetable.
True blood. Oh.
Right. It's just soy.
Yeah, green. Exactly.
It's still
exactly
people.
Just in a different, slightly different form. I have to say this one I think was just incredibly hard hitting, very relevant, clearly had come out slightly after everything got especially crazy in the world.
Yeah, Avrup seems to be extremely into trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Unlike the rest of the counselors, he's very like engaged and trying to help her as much as he can.
Yeah, like I feel like Counselor Marth is, shall we say, romantically distracted.
Just a bit, as we're about to find out, yes.
And the at counselor. I don't know. Like, I feel like she doesn't really give a shit about anything.
Yeah, she very much seems like she doesn't give a fuck and would happily like be doing something else.
Absolutely, eating some memes.
Exactly. Yes.
But yeah, I actually really like Avrup Thorne, and
yeah, he's a very interesting character. He straight up says that he is going to keep trying to get to the bottom of this, even if it, you know, kills him. And then she's like, I wish he hadn't said that.
Have you read issue 7 yet?
I haven't.
You haven't? Okay. He's in issue 7 as well. And he's really okay. Cool.
Sweet.
All right. So that leads us to the final issue we're covering. Not the final of the series. This is the halfway point, but issue 6. So I guess I'll go ahead and take that unless you want it, Ryan.
I can give it a shot. I feel like this is the last one I read, so I won't struggle as much to go through my bullet points here. So this one starts off, and it's the homage this time around. It's very like 60s, 70s, like romantic type movie looking.
It reminded me a lot of Gone with the Wind.
Yeah, a little bit. It kind of gives off that vibe. It's her and it's Joe and Martha, and they're like all hugged up on each other, and they're about to kiss, and it says, "Welcome to Far Sector."
Yeah,
It was really cool.
My favorite part of that is the panel where she tells him, "Fear happens when you've got feelings," and his response is, "Really? Wow, this is bullshit." Which I'm like, wow, this author is very in tune to the current internet style of humor, like the good version of that.
So it is, the referendum is in a week. After, you know, all the protests and whatnot, the council has heard out, you know, all their demands, and now the referendum is coming soon. And so since the protest, Joe has been to 6 funerals, or since the riots, and 12 people died when the police or the peace officers just kind of shot into the crowd. Right.
The peace officers.
She wasn't able. Yes, she wasn't able to go to all of the funerals because some families just straight up didn't want her to be there. And so she's kind of going about her day and thinking about things. And it is she is shown to be watched by Marth. And he's kind of just like creeping around in the shadows, watching her go about her day. It was just a little creepy.
Yeah, it was weird.
He's a dragon man. You know, their customs and ways are different.
It's very true. Very true. So then it jumps to her being back home. And she's just hanging out. She's talking to Season, and they're trying to figure things out. Season very kind of just propositions, saying that I'll come over and help you sleep if you need me to. And she's and Joe's like, maybe not tonight. And she's like, okay.
Yeah.
I do enjoy that, like, Season, like, you know, obviously doesn't have emotions. So she's like, oh, you seem really tired. Would you like me to have sex with you so that, you know, like, you can go to sleep? She doesn't obviously say that outright, but she's like, do you want me to come over and help you sleep? And there's like a box, like a little thought box from Joe, where she's like, yeah, that's exactly what it's out of.
Yeah,
exactly
that was good. I liked that a lot. But again, I think we mentioned that last episode where it's like everyone's very, because they're not emotional about things, they're very logical. So they're like, well, you know, it gets the serotonin going. It's like, I mean, it's good for your health. It's just a thing friends do on this planet because, like, remove the emotions and why not, right?
I mean, some friends eat each other, some
some friends eat each other and some friends eat each other.
Yeah. Yeah,
if we haven't mentioned yet, Joe is incredibly bi, and that is another factor that made me enjoy this character a lot, because it doesn't get mentioned or come up at all by anyone, which I appreciated a lot.
Yeah, yes. she just kind of goes with the flow, and nobody really seems to give a shit.
Yep,
thank God.
Yeah, I like when they can have stuff like that without making it a thing. Like, yeah. Like, just have it there because people exist. So, I mean, and I know I'm going out on a limb and saying that people exist, but they do.
What?
Get out of town.
Are you sure about that one?
People exist.
I know.
In this economy? United States. So as she hangs up with Season, she immediately gets a notification that Marth of the Sea by the Wavering Dark Until the Sun Falls is outside her door, which isn't really a door so much as it is a hole that opens up in the wall.
Right.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's like kind of goopy looking. It's weird. But she opens the door and she's like, what are you doing here? And he's got flowers and he says, your assistant told me that it's appropriate for me to give you these flowers, and also I'm supposed to like grab you and kiss you if we're gonna be courting, but that seemed like not the best idea. And she's like, yeah, no, that's assault.
Yeah. I liked that a lot as well. It's like, yeah, all those movies you've seen are incorrect. You should not just do that.
And she's like, what do you want? And he's like, courtship. I find you, you know, extremely attractive and I enjoy your company. And she says, no, I'm not interested. I'm glad we had this talk. And then she goes to close the door and he says, I also came to offer an apology. And she loses it a little bit and turns on him and starts like yelling in his face. And she's like, how dare you? You should be apologizing to like the public and the people for, you know, giving the order to fire on them. And he was like, yeah, you know, you're totally right. And I should you know, I thought about doing so in private, but I should also definitely do so publicly. You're absolutely right. And she also tells him that he should step down from the council. And he says straight up, I'm stepping down as the Na councilor the day after the referendum. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, shit, come in.
Yeah. She's like, oh, I suddenly respect you. Come on in. Yeah.
So then she, so as he's like kind of baring his soul a little bit and telling her how bad he feels, she's like, wait, you're not on switch off right now, are you? And then he kind of like looks guilty for a second because he's 100% on switch off right now.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And she goes, you think I'll change my mind in the morning when I'm not on it anymore? And she says, well, yeah, when you're high on the switch off, you're like the champion of the people. But when you're not and you're emotionless, you're literally the enemy.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you know, if you don't trust that, you know, take a look at like today's newspaper. And she pulls it up and it's the front page. Oh yeah, Na councilor is going to resign in the wake of the protest shooting. And she goes, holy shit, you're for real. So she like starts to take him more seriously and starts to listen to him more, and they start talking, and he's regretful, but not exactly guilty right off the bat is what she gets off of him. Mm-hmm. He's more regretful that he's losing his position because he won't be able to help people as much in that way. And not so much as just, you know, feeling guilty that everybody's dead.
Yeah. But I found it really interesting too, in this scene, when he's talking about the switch off and stuff, and how he actually uses it to reflect on decisions he makes when he isn't on it. Like, he basically never uses it when he's doing something in an official capacity, but he uses the switch off to gain insight into his decisions that he wouldn't normally have. And I'm that's a very interesting take. Like, I was not expecting the character to go that way. Like, expected him to just be like a junkie, but it's like, oh no, he's actually trying to balance both sides of this crazy world they're living in. And it's just showing that the cold, like unfeeling thing is actually not working well for this planet, because when he does have his emotions back, he's a much better person. As I had mentioned before, he's got that like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, except Mr. Hyde is like a politician who's having people shoot into peaceful protests. So yeah. It's a complicated situation here.
Yeah. So she stared up, asked him, she's like, why did you make that order to fire into the crowd? Did you think there wouldn't be any blowback? And he straight up says, there hasn't been. There's no blowback at all. But, and she goes, well, why are you stepping down? He said, because I did something wrong.
Yeah. It's like, it's the right thing to do is to step down.
Yeah. She's like, he's like, don't leaders on Earth do that? And I just kind of laughed at the comic book. At
yeah.
That
they should, but. They should.
And and she's like, I don't believe you. And he's like, have you never committed a wrong? Just like, you know, or was there something that you shouldn't have done or something that you should have done? And she immediately flashes back to the police brutality bit. And then she goes, yeah, okay, I understand where you're coming from.
Right. Yeah, this scene was very, very well handled. Really good.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It got very deep.
And, like, definitely not a scene I would trust most writers to handle well.
Yeah, he then asks, he says, so you're the expert in emotion because, you know, she's the only one not, you know, affected by the emotion exploit on the entire planet, unless you're on switch off. And she says, when does the pain of having committed a wrong end? And she's like, damn it. That's guilt right there. He does feel guilty. He's like being legit right now. And she says, if you're healthy, you know, that pain doesn't ever go away. And he goes, I don't even know why I keep taking switch off then, if this is how I'm going to feel all the time. And so, you know, they're all very much emotional and things get very deep, and you know, they start talking about being alone, because when he's on the switch off, he feels alone. He feels that feeling. And so, in a way, he kind of, in a less gross way, he kind of propositions her again to, like, you know, get together.
And they do.
And they full on do, because at this point she's like, well, I turned down season earlier because, you know, I kind of want to feel something. I want this. I want there to be some kind of emotional attachment to this at this point. That's what she needs right now. And since he is currently on the switch off, he's the only one who can kind of give that to her. So they do.
And he does. He does give it to her.
He do. They do that thing. And it like zooms out, and there's like a little John Stewart action figure on her shelf. And
that like, cracked me up.
yes.
And it's so like funny. They're all blurry in the background, and there's like anime figures and big giant and like Gundam freaking robots on like her shelf, because she's a total nerd.
Yes, I did like that touch, because we kind of don't start getting that until this issue.
Yeah,
it's like, she's a huge nerd. I love it.
Yeah, it comes into play later on.
Yes.
So they do. You know, they hop on the good foot and they do the bad thing or whatever. And they, and then they wake up the next day.
It's the beast with two backs and at least two wings, several fins, a tail.
Yes.
this beast is pretty fucked up.
Just the most glorious, luxurious dreadlocks I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And
I mean, this guy can get it, is what we're saying.
Yeah. And so. So they wake up in the morning because and a little alarm goes off for him because the switch off is starting to wear off. And so she tells him that it's time to go.
Yeah. She's like, I don't want to be around your horrible, logical self. Your that sucks. Self. So can you leave now?
Yeah.
Not in so many words, but that's where I went with it.
Essentially.
So it's so now it's and it's no longer a week. It is now 5 days until the referendum. Mm. And she gets a call from Averup. And he says, hey, I've kind of figured some stuff out and I need assistance right away. Can you come and help me? And she's like, is something wrong? Is everything okay? And he's like, I'm fine for now. Just like, I'm going to send you the location. Just come and meet me. Mm-hmm. He's like, I think I figured out what happened to Meal. I think we settled on for her name. And she says, okay, I'll be there right away. So she takes off and she calls Season and tries to get her to send like back up to that location. And so, and Ken decides to tag along on this mission.
Yeah, because she can transfer herself to her like communicator or whatever.
Yeah. Which is the first time we've seen that. And it was pretty rad. She's like Cortana now. Running around in her head.
And she's you need to upgrade the memory in this thing.
Yeah,
she's like, she's immediately dunking on her communicator.
So the location takes them to like this heavy industrial like district of the city, and she likens it to like Manhattan. And so they're moving through this area, and Ken has says that the security system recorded that he entered this like warehouse or whatever like an hour ago, but he called you 40 minutes later. So, you know, something weird is going on. And so she says that Ken has is able to tell her that, oh yeah, well, you're the direction that you're going, you're moving toward him right now. And so
mysterious.
She says, it's not great that, he's not coming toward us as well, right? And they turn a corner and a big giant alien in an armor thing just kind of pops out around the corner.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy looking.
Yeah, it looks super rad, I must say. And goes and lets her know that these aren't armors from the city. These aren't people from here. These armors are from the Cloud Kratocracy, which we're kind of learning the name of for the first time. But it was something from way earlier on in the first issue, where they were talking about the history of everything before the three species were like cool and like trying to live together in harmony. They were attacked by another species and they tried to take over. And they all got together and they just completely obliterated the other species, which is the cloud.
Our insurance policy was just kill them all.
Yeah. So they wouldn't.
And you're like, ooh, that's dark.
Yeah. It wasn't revenge. It was just insurance. So they'd never attack us again. And Joe says, well, you guys need your money back on that insurance policy, because they are immediately firing upon Joe.
Yeah. They look like those dudes from... anyone see the Dark Crystal? Those bug guys that they use to hunt down the main characters. Anyway, people that are listening might know what the hell I'm talking about. They kind of look like those, except giant and blue.
Yeah, they're intimidating, to say the least.
Yes.
And then she's able to, or it looks like maybe Ken has, like, zooms in on something kind of further away and, like, brings it up for Joe to see. And you see Avrup, who's, like, being held down, and he looks not to be in the best condition. And she says, yeah. Oh, you guys done fucked up now. And she starts to power up the ring. And I've got to say, that last panel, it kind of looks like the ring is growing what seems to be an Evangelion around her.
Mm-hmm.
It looks
very, she says, get ready for a nerd fight. Yeah. And that's like how it ends.
It looks it's very Evangelion looking to me.
Your impressions are not entirely incorrect.
Yeah, the whole nerd fight thing, you know, it's calling back to her little figures on the shelf.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where we're left, is with a cliffhanger, because we're only halfway through this book for being like the entire story. So let's get into final thoughts then. Kieran, do you want to kick us off?
I can safely say without a doubt that Fire Sector is one of the best comics I've read in 2020. The writing is super, super solid. All the characters are wonderful and fully realized. The themes and the emotions have all been plotted and laid out with care. It's depressingly timely, depressingly relevant. And honestly, I bought the first six issues. As soon as I finished the sixth one, I bought the seventh one right away and just kept reading. I honestly could not recommend this book enough. There's so many kind things I could say about it, but you really, really owe it to yourself to just go and read it. It's so good. Ryan, what do you think?
I absolutely love it. I can't wait to continue jumping into the series. It's like you said, it's extremely timely. You know, when we talked about doing this episode, I was like, okay, well, I want to do something, you know, I want to support, you know, black writers, and I want to get that perspective. And this is definitely 100% that perspective. Absolutely. And it's definitely a book that I would recommend to everyone, because it is very, it seems to be a very important book for this year.
Yeah. 100%. Agree with both of you on that. The everything on every level is just so well executed. Like, the art complements the writing in ways that only comics can do, in my opinion. The uniqueness of Joe and her power set being like Ryan had pointed out before, it's familiar but different. Because it's like, we know what Green Lanterns can do, but Joe is not your typical Green Lantern. It actually makes me really curious what they're going to do with that character, and they better do something with her after the story arc wraps up, because if they just are like, and then she never was heard from again, I'm going to be like, you know what, DC, screw you, because the character is awesome.
Yeah, she's the most interesting character I've read about.
For sure. She's and I mean, a lot of that, I think, goes a long way with the just it being written from a different person's point of view. That makes such a huge difference.
Wow. Who could have foreseen?
Yeah, it's definitely a perspective that we need to be, you know, looking out for and listening to a lot.
For sure. Yeah. I definitely recommend people go out and buy all of the issues. And I actually am very interested when this finishes to maybe get the three of us back together and do like a mini episode where we just give like final thoughts on the entire story, because that's how much I enjoyed it that I would actually want to revisit it in another like podcast format, because I know we're all going to have thoughts on it as the story progresses.
Definitely. I'm super down for that.
Yeah. But super, super easy recommend for me. Like it was mentioned, like, it's not just a good book. I feel it's an important book for especially right now. But yeah, that's going to bring us to the close of Green Lantern, which surprisingly, it's not called Green Lantern Far Sector, right? It's just called Far Sector.
It's just
called Far Sector. Which I was kind of surprised, because they didn't use the Green Lantern name to help sell it. So that's, that was a marketing decision, I'm sure. So with that said, Ryan, where can people find you online?
Yeah, you guys can find me on the Twitters at RyanSCBSantos. And also you can find me on the podcast Torchlit Tavern, which also has a Twitter at Torchlit Tavern. Come listen to us play some D&D.
Excellent.
It's a lot of fun.
Yes, for sure. And back them on patreon.com/Torchlit Tavern, I assume. I'm a backer, but I can't remember it off the top of my head.
Oh, yes. It is absolutely patreon.com/Torchlit Tavern.
Kieran, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at MrK_Bennett, or you can check out my D&D podcast, which is for Crits and Giggles. That is at 4CNG podcast. Jonah, where can people find you?
Oh, me? Online. Little old me?
Little old you.
You can find me on Twitter at A Real Jonah. You can also follow the show at Inks and Issues. And also on Twitch, twitch.tv/Inks and Issues. For games and us streaming the podcast, so you get to, you know, experience it early, even if you're not a patron, but you should be because you get cool stuff too.
Yes,
I would know. Oh, I'm a patron.
Dang, you got me. But yeah, that's about it from us. Let's see. I was trying to think of if we knew what next episode was going to be, because we're going to try and announce those early, and we do not know what the next one's going to be quite yet. So I would recommend going on our Discord, because we've actually been updating on there quite a bit lately. It's the hip having in place to be. So
we'll talk to you. Come to our Discord. Talk to
I've added so many emojis of like various comic book things. It's my favorite thing to do on Discord now. Now that I have my own, I'm like, oh man, I can add like 100 of these. So if you,
this is too much power for one man.
If you want an emoji that is the talk bubble of Batman saying, "This is the where my parents died, Raphael," then do I have a Discord for you?
Hell
all right. But with that, we will see you all next time. Goodbye.
Bye. I love you.
Need more mutants, metahumans, or monsters in your life? Then check out these other Geekly Inc. shows, including Cthulhu and Friends, Dear Internet, Greetings Adventures, Transformation Sequence, and many more fantastic podcasts. You can help us make the show the best it can be by supporting us over at patreon.com/inksandissues, where you can get bonus content, early access to episodes, and can even vote on comics for us to review. Don't forget to also leave us a 5-star rating and review to help us spread the word. Want to interact with us on Twitter? You can find us at Inks and Issues or on Twitch at twitch.tv/inksandissues. Now do yourself a favor and go read some gosh darn comics!